If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. We're also going to look at a couple other passages, but main passages is Matthew chapter 21 this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, if you don't have a physical copy of a Bible, you have the Bible app on your phone. YouVersion is the most popular Bible app. If you do have that, you can open up YouVersion. You can click in the bottom right-hand corner where there's a little more menu. You can click on Events. And then you'll see Restoration Church there and be able to see all the verses that we have this morning. But really where I want to go this morning and where I believe that the Lord wants to go this morning is for us to live a life like the testimonies that we just heard. It's just really being obedient to the Lord moment by moment. Being obedient to the Lord in the moments that we find ourselves not getting so far ahead. And I think about our culture, and I think about our lives. I think about, even from a young age, we put a lot of pressure on kids to figure out their life. We have these conversations with kids. Maybe you've had a conversation with a child recently, and you're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I don't know about you, like, if for me it was always a professional athlete. Well, that didn't happen. Maybe for you as a fireman, maybe a police officer, or maybe something else. Did anybody have anything like really unique what they wanted to be when they grew up that's willing to share? Like you had it as a kid, you're like, I want to be, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a random, yeah, what'd you have? A Dutch dancer. Because that is a lucrative profession. A Dutch dancer. See, we have these conversations with kids. What do you want to be when you grow up? And we get them thinking way far in advance. But then even that pressure ramps up when it comes to high school, when they become teenagers. And even it ramps up as they get to junior year. Hey, where are you going to college? What are you going to do for the rest of your life? Are you going to go to college? And then when they get to college or whatever outside of high school, it's like, what are you going to be for the rest of your life? What's your major? And we feel like they have to make lifelong decisions at 18. Now, for all of us who are a little bit older, how many of us made wise lifelong decisions when we were 18?
Not me.
Not me. We put that pressure. We say, hey, think long term. Think like all the way for the rest of your life. What are you going to do? We even in day-to-day life put this pressure on one another. What is your 2-year plan? What's your 3-year plan? Where are you going to be in 5 years or so down the road? And here's the thing at 50, what I've realized. I have been in conversations where people have planned out 3 years and 5 years. Where we've had those strategic conversations. And after living so many years, I can say I've never really seen those plans pan out. Why? Because life happens. Because all of a sudden, there's something that happens in your life, like it's a diagnosis, or there's a relationship that falls apart, or there's some sort of change in your life. Something happens in your life, and you look at that situation, and you're like, wow, I didn't see that on my bingo card. I didn't see that happening. Even as organizations, we think about, okay, what's 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road? And honestly, as a community, as a church called Restoration, we didn't see this space a year ago. And I believe, like, living in our Western culture, there is a tendency to not be present in the present, but to be looking so far down the road that we miss what God may want to do today. Simply today. Now, I'm not anti-planning, okay? Don't hear me say this. Don't be like, oh, Dave never wants us to plan. No, there is a time for that. If the Lord is stirring in your heart, like, I'm going to be a nurse, you're going to be whatever, you know, take those next right steps. But this morning, what I want us to focus on, and what I want us to get our minds and mainly our hearts around, is focusing on today. Focusing and being present in the present. Because Jesus even warns some people about this and even speaks to some of maybe what our language, what language comes out of our mouths. I think of Luke chapter 12, and it's a story. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read a couple verses. They'll be up on the screen. But it's a story that Jesus was sharing, that, or somebody came out of the crowd to Jesus and said, Jesus, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. And this is what Jesus said. He told them a story. And he said this, "The land of a rich man produces plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods. You've laid it up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, those, whose will they be?'" See, the picture there is, this tells a story. This guy had plenty of crops. He's like, here's what I will do. I will build bigger barns. I will store up stuff for myself because then I can sit back, relax, and be merry. He's just thinking like, I'm just going to coast through the rest of life, not staying present in the present. James 3 also says the same thing. It says this, actually James 4. James says this, "Come now who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." James is going after this attitude where a person is just saying, oh, today or tomorrow, we'll do this, we'll live our lives, we'll be there for a year, we'll just go through our lives. And I believe the Lord is actually asking us to live differently than maybe our culture tends to. He's inviting us to live counterculturally. See, in Hebrews 3, the writer's writing to a community, and they've started to fall away a little bit. Their hearts have started to grow cold. And he reminds them of what happened in Exodus. How the people they were rescued from Egypt. They were delivered. They had seen the provision of the Lord. They'd seen the power of the Lord. And their hearts start, though, to complain. Where's our water? And the writer of Hebrews says, don't harden your hearts like they did. If you hear the voice of the Lord today, obey it. Today. If you hear the voice of the Lord today, obey it. Here's another passage. Proverbs 30. I want to look at this one up on the screen. Because this has always been a unique proverb to me, because it challenges us again to live differently, to be focused on the day. Proverbs 30, verses 8 through 9 says this, "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." I love how the message puts it. Eugene Peterson says this, "Give me enough food to live on, neither too much nor too little. If I'm too full, I might get independent, saying, 'God, who needs him?' If I'm poor, I might steal and dishonor the name of my God." The NIV says this, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread," which should actually trigger our minds, the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray. Give me today my daily bread. Give me today my daily bread. And then later in Matthew 6, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Be focused on today. I truly believe that the Lord wants us to be present in the present, to be focused today on what he has for us. And so the question that I have is, what is today? Sure, it's time, it's today, it's Sunday, it's this day that we're going through. But the cultural understanding in Jesus' day was a little bit different. It's not just talking about a specific day, it's talking about a specific moment, a present moment, a moment of opportunity, a moment when God breaks into the here and now and speaks into our hearts, and it's an invitation to respond and obey. Today is not looking at the past. Not looking at the mistakes of the past and the shame of the past. It's not looking to the future and the worries of the future. It's drawing near to God in this moment and saying, what are you saying to me right now? And then obeying. It's responding to his call to action. And it's a belief that God, at any moment, we pray this, God, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come invade our space. It's a belief that at any moment, God wants to speak to our hearts and is speaking to our hearts. And are we fully present to respond? This is how Jesus wants us to live. Matthew 21, he tells a story. And I just want to press into this story this morning. Matthew 21, starting at verse 28. Jesus is confronting the religious Pharisees. It's toward the end of his earthly time, or his time here on earth. And he says to them, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and he said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, the son answered, I will not. But after he changed his mind, he went. He went to the other son and he said the same thing. And he answered, I'll go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the tax collectors, the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in a way of righteousness and you did not believe them. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. Here's a simple question that Jesus asks. He tells a story. He says, here's a father who says to his son, go work in the vineyard today. And the first son is like, I'm not going to go. It's ridiculous. We've all been there. If you're a parent in this room, you tell your kid to do something and you're like, absolutely not. We don't want to do this. And they throw a fit. And then all of a sudden they come to themselves and go, okay, I'll do it. Jesus says, okay, there's that one son who begrudgingly did it. And then there's another son who promised the world, even called his dad, sir, said, yes, I'll go, I'll do this. But his actions didn't match what he said. And Jesus quickly just simply said, which one did the will of the Father? Which one obeyed? Now, parents in this room, we would quickly answer the same way that they answered. Obviously, the one, even though they complained about it, the one who did it, yeah, that's the one who obeyed. That's the one who did the will of the Father. And here's the thing. What is Jesus after? In our lives, what is Jesus after? It's a simple point, but often difficult to do. Jesus is not impressed with our promises, with all of our huge intentions, our empty words, but he is impressed simply with obedience. See, words and appearances can be deceptive. It's actually doing God's will that matters in the kingdom. After all, Jesus did say, if you love me, what? You will obey my commands. It's this walk of faith. When Jesus says go, you go. When he says say this, say that. We see this in other places in Scripture. It's the parable of the talents. The one who got reprimanded by Jesus, the one who Jesus didn't look kindly on, was the one who dug the talent in the ground. Didn't do anything. One servant who buried his talent, buried what he was given. He wasn't punished for wasting resources. No, he was punished for doing nothing. And this is what Jesus said, you wicked and slothful, lazy servant. Jesus calls out the wicked not for failing, but for refusing to risk and to obey. Here's the thing this morning. God is not impressed with our emotion, our intention, or our promises. He's after obedience. See, there is a danger, if you will, of always thinking about tomorrow. Or thinking about, oh, I'll do that later. Or having intentions. See, we all carry regret. We all carry regret in our soul, don't we? We all carry just this regret as part of being human. It's just like, oh, I wish I would have done whatever. But not all regret is the same. There are some regrets that we have from what we did. Maybe it's words said in anger. Maybe it's decisions that we rushed. Maybe it's a bad decision. Maybe it's a relationship that we damaged. But there are other regrets. There are things that we've done, but there's other regrets as well. The ones that maybe stick with us a little bit longer. maybe haunt us, comes from what we didn't do. The phone call we never made, the conversation we never had, the risk that we didn't take, not speaking up or not forgiving. See, when it comes to people's end of life, when they're on their deathbed, a lot of the times when they say things like, I wish I would have done blank. Even research shows that in the short term, the things that we regret the most, or we regret, are things that we've done, mistakes that we've made. But in the long term, the things that stick with us longer are those things that we didn't do. I remember a conversation I had years ago with a man. And it was in a setting, probably 20 years ago, it was in a group conversation. And I was sharing some of my heart, some of the things that I felt led to do. The man raised his hand and said, who are you to be able to do what you want to do? And then he went on and he said, I wish I would have done boom, boom, boom. This man was in his 80s. And he shared regret, things that he wishes that he would have done. It would have carried with him for so long. I look at my life. Sometimes the greatest regrets that I have are times when I didn't step out and do what I felt led to do. I remember people ask me like about teaching, about communicating in front of public. The worst message that I ever shared had nothing to do with style or whatever delivery. It has everything to do with I knew there was a word that I was supposed to share and I chickened out. We live with these regrets. We live with these things. And I heard this quote, this is up on the screen. I think this is true. So many people's lives die on the altar of good intentions. See, the problem is we're like the second son. We say, yes, we will, but we don't. Our faith lives in good intentions, not transformed behavior. And here's the danger. We don't call it what it is. So often when we feel led to do something, and we don't do it, we don't call it what it is. And it's simply rebellion. The son in the story that Jesus was sharing, the son who said, yes, sir, I'll do it, but didn't do it. What was he? He was a rebellious son. He was disobedient. And so often in the church, we don't just call things out when we feel led to do something and we don't do it. We come around and be like, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. Instead of like, no, you're being disobedient to the Lord, the thing that he wants you to do. See, I believe what the Lord wants for us this morning is for us to grow in our radical obedience. To let our yes simply be yes to the Lord. For him to have every yes of our hearts. See, so much of our lives is marked by overpromising and under-living. And I just think Jesus never applauded good intentions. Just think about this. He never applauded good intentions. Like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But what did he didn't say, hey, well said, good and faithful servants. What did he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. See, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is for those who go, who obey even if you wrestle first. Even if you wrestle. Even if you wrestle with the Lord, but eventually go. Like Jesus said, that is what he's looking after. See, there's a beautiful scandalous story that we read. It starts in defiance, but ends up in repentance. And repentance, not a promise, is the currency of heaven. So what are we to do? What do we do? Seriously, how are we supposed to live present in the present? How do we move from intention to transformation? First of all, the most powerful thing that we can remember today is the regrets that we carry, the disobedience that we carry. Know that the cross is big enough to cover all. Know that the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to cover all that. That's why Jesus died, to grace upon grace upon grace. And so I'm not here to condemn us for our inaction. Jesus is not condemning us for our inaction, because in Christ there's no condemnation. But I believe the Lord is inviting us, you and me, into so much more. See, when he's knocking on the door of our hearts, when he's speaking to our hearts, there's a reason for that. He's inviting us into more. He's inviting us into change in our life. He's inviting us to step into Pizza Hut and speak the words of life to people. He has opportunity for us. He's saying, I see you. I see where other people are at, and I want to connect the two and see my kingdom come in powerful ways. But how do we do this? How do we live this life where we move past intention and live a life of transformation? And I believe, first of all, it's this. It's daily bread. It's daily bread. Jesus said, man will not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Daily bread, sitting and being alone with the Lord every single day. If you hang around Restoration Church long enough, you're going to hear this over and over again. The power of just simply being with Jesus. This past Wednesday night at our men's youth group, we shared testimonies, not about like how we saw God work during the week. We shared testimonies of how God encountered us in the Word. And there was man after man who shared, I read this morning and God spoke to my heart. I saw this in the Word and it changed my thinking. We look at the life of Jesus. How did Jesus live his life? He got up early and prayed. If Jesus needed to do that, to sit and be with the Father and spend time with the Father, we need that time. Who are we to think that we don't need to spend time just sitting and being with the Lord? After all, Jesus did. It starts with a daily sitting and being with Jesus. And here's the scandal of the kingdom of God. Jesus wants to be with you. When he picked disciples, the first thing that he says, I want them just simply to be with me. We'll go do some things, but it starts by simply being. And out of that, out of being with the Lord, sitting and being with him, daily opportunities come. Daily opportunities come because you'll interact with people and all of a sudden you'll find yourself sharing a verse that you read that morning or a thought that you had that morning as you sat with the Lord. I think of Acts chapter 3, Peter and John. They were known for being with Jesus, sitting and being with Jesus, going through life with him. And so one day when they came into the temple, they saw a man who was lame from birth. And the man was begging them for money. And they looked at him and said, we haven't had a job in 3 years. We don't have any money. But what we do have, we give to you. Get up in the name of Jesus and walk. And Peter all of a sudden took him by the arms and threw him up, and his feet became strong, and he started to walk and dance. See, they just looked at that opportunity and said, this is an opportunity for the kingdom of God to come. After that, people were amazed. Peter preaches the gospel boldly. Thousands give their life to the Lord. They get thrown into jail. The next day, they show up and they share with the very people that crucified Jesus. They share the gospel again. They share the hope in the name of Jesus. And what did the people notice about them? Said, we don't get it. We see the man who is lame, who's now walking. We see these guys, and they're unschooled, ordinary. But the only thing that makes them stand out is that they've been with Jesus. Being with Jesus leads to daily opportunities. Daily opportunities. As you go to school, as you go to work, as you interact at the grocery store, there will be opportunities that come up, and you're like, wow, this is such a coincidence. I read this morning, and now I'm sharing this at the produce department. What in the world? No, it's because being with Jesus, daily bread leads to daily opportunities. But here's the thing. When he speaks, I want to encourage us all to listen and obey. Because as we get into this mode where we'll say, oh, I'll do that later, do that tomorrow, I'll do that the next day, life comes in, and the result that happens in our hearts is our hearts grow cold, and the voice of the Lord grows dimmer and dimmer and dimmer as we push things off to tomorrow, to later. See, the Lord is inviting us to go and work in the vineyard today, to go work in the vineyard today. And so whatever the Holy Spirit is asking you to do, I want to encourage you to do it. Don't overthink it. Just simply obey. Too often we're looking for more information. Oh, if I just had a little bit more information. But here in the West, in the American church, we are educated way beyond our ability to obey. We know so much. What if we just simply lived it out? Obeyed it? So I want to encourage you this morning. I'm just even asking, what is the Holy Spirit asking you to do? What is the Holy Spirit asking you to do? And you know, like deep in your heart, maybe it's something that lines up with the Word. I want to encourage you and challenge you to do it. There are people that you know you need to pray for. Become a person of prayer and pray for them. Maybe it's to give generously, to be a person who is a giver. Do it. You become a generous person by actually doing it. Maybe there's an area of your life that the Lord has highlighted and you're like, oh, there's just some sin going on in your life. The language of the kingdom is repentance. Share that with a brother. Share that with a sister. Confess it and repent. Don't allow what the Lord is speaking to you today to be pushed off to the moment. The invitation from Jesus is go and work in the vineyard today. So I'm going to have Nathan come up and the team come up. And I want you just to close your eyes. And I want you to simply just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you asking me to do today? Where do I need to be obedient today? Is there a conversation that you need to have? Is there somebody in your life that you just simply need to forgive? You've been holding on to bitterness. Something along the lines of your time and being selfish with your time and not investing in those people that the Lord has brought into your life. Is there something that you pushed off for a while now? And the Lord keeps bringing it back. May today be the day that you obey. I think, too, it's helpful to identify maybe even lies, things that are preventing us from stepping out in obedience. Maybe it's a lie that, well, I could never do whatever. The truth is, we're not doing it. It's the Lord who does it in us and through us. Maybe there's a lie of like, well, it's not the right time, or it's going to take too long to bring about that change in my life. I want to encourage you, have faith in risk. Step out and see what the Lord does. Just don't want us to live our lives filled with good intentions, but to live in the freedom of obedience. Here's the cool thing. God sees you. God knows you. God sees the needs in your life. God sees the needs of those around you. And He's touching your heart. He's knocking on the door of your heart for a reason. For growth in your life, for growth in the lives of those around you, for growth in this community. What Meg shared last week, it's daily dependence on the Lord. Daily going to the Lord. When He speaks, be obedient. So, Father, would you give us just faith today? I ask that you would pour out the gift of faith today. This afternoon, this evening, that this week would be filled with moments where we step out and risk as you call us to, as you tell us to go, that we would go, be quick to go. all because we long to see your kingdom. All because we truly love you. I invite us to stand right now. Close out our time together just singing just this simple song. Jesus, you're still our first love.